radiation from airport security scans. Are the concerns valid? I'm Paul Plack, and this is AeroNews. Welcome into the AeroNews special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Brent Blue, who is a doctor. He's a senior aviation medical examiner. His biggest claim to fame in recent years has been as the director of ThroughTheFence.org, which is fighting the FAA's crackdown on through-the-fence agreements at federally funded airports. But today, we're here to talk to Brent in his capacity as a senior aviation medical examiner about radiation exposure. It's been in the news because the Allied Pilots Association advised all its members to opt out of advanced imaging technology scans, the new full-body or porno scanners or whatever you want to call them that are being installed at airports now, not because of privacy or Fourth Amendment issues so much as radiation exposure and the unknown effects of it, the unmeasured, undetermined effects of it. We wanted to find out how big a risk this is to pilots and actually maybe even talk about how we're coming into an era of the next couple of years where pilots in general are going to be exposed to more radiation just because of the cycles of the sun. Brent, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Paul, it's great to be here.
All right, let's start with the risks faced by pilots in general and why they're higher than the general population. I think our atmosphere goes unappreciated.
Well, that's true. And especially with pilots, commercial pilots flying over the poles, they get significant solar radiation, and we're coming up on a sunspot flare that's going to increase that over the next 2 to 3 years. And even private pilots who are flying, you know, at 10,000 feet, 12,000 feet, have significant reduction of the atmosphere to protect them, and the atmosphere does protect us to some extent. And so even in the wintertime, you can be flying at that altitude and get significant radiation exposure, and any additional radiation exposure is not good. And as a physician, we protect ourselves routinely. If we're taking x-rays, we stand behind lead walls, or if we're in the operating room, we wear protective lead shields and lead shields around our necks. Even though the radiation we are exposing the patient to is very directed and very clean, what I mean by clean is that there's not much scatter, but we still protect ourselves. And any pilot who is going to be going through security on a regular basis should really opt out of full-body exposure to radiation.
Well, I'm going to jump back to the atmosphere for just a moment. I remember when the first few research satellites were set up, all the instruments that had been placed on them, on the U.S. satellites to measure cosmic radiation, jumped completely off scale. Scientists had no clue the extent to which the atmosphere shields us from cosmic radiation and other things. What exactly is the effect? I mean, can you quantify what the increased risk is for somebody who flies routinely in the flight levels?
Well, the somebody who flies polar routes definitely has an increase. It's very hard to quantify because it really depends on whether you know what the route is they're flying and how often they're flying it. And then there are individual issues to what age they are, whether they're on any immune suppressive drugs. I mean, and that's part of the issue here is that no one really knows for sure how much of a poison is bad. And that's what it really comes down to, is that radiation is like a poison, and it's hard to say, okay, how much of this is okay to expose your body to? One of the things that's going on in medicine right now is that there is a estimate that 4,000 to 5,000 cancers are caused a year now because of what we call iatrogenic radiation. That means radiation that we expose patients to by ordering CAT scans or chest CTs or other kinds of radiologic imaging, because those doses are much higher than the older doses of chest x-rays and routine, you know, what we call straight films. This now, all of a sudden, we're introducing these whole-body scanners, and for people who are going through these scanners, that may be going through, you know, going through 30 times a month. I mean, they may be going through a scanner 2 or 3 times in a day. There's really no good science to show how much is bad and at what point that happens. And that's why I say is how much poison is bad for you, because no one really knows exactly the limit and at what point say, a melanotic cell on your skin turns from a routine melanotic cell to a melanotic cancer, which will kill you.
Well, let's clarify, too, the difference between chemical poisons, most chemical poisons, and radiation, in that chemical poisons, most of them, over time, your body clears it out. But this is cumulative.
This is cumulative, and it affects the way the cells divide. And that's one of the things that's sort of interesting about this whole body scanner, is that the whole body scanner uses a frequency of radiation that only penetrates the skin and about a centimeter below the skin. And so the TSA is saying, well, that actually makes it safer. Well, it's not making it safer in that the total dose is exposed to a smaller part of your body. In other words, when we talk about how much the dose is compared to your whole body, we're looking at your, with routine like medical x-rays, we're looking at it compared to your entire body mass and weight, where this is looking, is using that same measurement, but applying it only to your skin and about a centimeter underneath the skin. However, the skin, as you know from having a cut that heals in a couple days, the skin is a rapidly turning over tissue. And any cell that is rapidly dividing is more sensitive to the effect of radiation and has more of a chance of that radiation causing a blip in the division that can be a cancer.
All right, when we come back from the break, let's talk about some of the things we do know about the causes of radiation, some of the specific diseases that might be higher risks for pilots. Brent Blue is my guest. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Dr. Brent Blue, Senior Aviation Medical Examiner, a guy who has put some effort into researching and writing about the effects of radiation and the additional risks to pilots because of their additional exposure. Brent, it's been quite a few years now since science has determined that there are a few specific cancers which are a bigger risk to pilots than to the general population. What are some of those problems?
Well, one of the cancers that was identified as an increased risk in Scandinavia was a testicular cancer, and it was pilots who were in their air forces, and it was felt to be related to the cosmic radiation of flying close to the ozone holes near the polar caps. And that study has been very well substantiated by the scientists. One of the other cancers are the cancers of white blood cells, the leukemia type cancers, and the theory behind that is that solar radiation penetrates the skin, and the blood cells that are perfusing the skin put these cells at risk. And white cells are cells that are also dividing, are turnover much quicker in your body, so they're being formed much quicker and particularly at risk. There are also risks, you know, to children. Of course, children aren't flying commercially over the poles as much as a professional pilot. But again, we really don't know how much exposure to, say, a 2-year-old is going to be walking through a whole body scanner compared to an adult walking through a whole body scanner, and whether that could increase that child's risk of a leukemia. So we really don't know all the answers to these questions. There's a very strong indication that the melanomas are triggered as much by solar radiation as the light portion of the spectrum from the sun. So that's the reason we tend to find melanomas in places where that don't get sun exposure, and we say, well, how can this person develop a melanoma when they have no sun exposure, no other risk factor? And you start thinking, well, are they exposed to radiation? Where do they live? How much flying do they do? Do they work in hospitals? And don't forget, Madame Curie, who did a lot of the original research and discovered radioactivity, died from radiation-related diseases. So, I mean, radiation is a great friend of ours in science in determining different disease states, and it can be a security issue in helping us with security. But to release it on an entire population as a mass screening tool without a good scientific study, and especially when you have questions from people who are, you know, experts in the field, and I mean, I don't mean minor experts, but Nobel Prize type experts, questioning the safety, I don't think that the government is paying a lot of attention.
Well, and you know, and then there's the whole issue too of I liken this to the food pyramid, where, you know, obviously a food pyramid put together by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, from a political sense, is going to be somewhat biased toward recommending a lot of carbs, and that's exactly what happened. You know, there certainly is at least a bias for the government to make this look as good as possible.
Well, absolutely, and the government is their own police, and who's going to be responsible for checking on this equipment if it malfunctions, or who's checking to see if it's putting out more radiation than it's supposed to be rated at? I mean, these are significant issues, and this is not your normal magnetometer. This is a much different type of process. In the early 50s, you know, they used to let people in shoe stores X-ray people's feet in shoes, and that was pointed out by the industry at the time to be safe. And then they found out it wasn't so safe, and people who worked in the stores and a lot of the people who had their shoes fitted by X-ray ended up getting radiation illnesses from it. And obviously, that was a big problem. And I would hate to see, you know, in 5 years, people coming, you know, frequent flyers and pilots who fly frequently coming down with different kinds of blood-borne cancers and skin cancers related to this equipment.
So I guess if what I'm hearing from you is that there obviously is work yet to be done to quantify this, but that it is a reasonable concern about risk for the APA to tell its members to try to avoid these scans.
Well, I think that if you're a frequent flyer or you're a pilot who's flying and having to go through security frequently, that you should opt out of the screening. You're going to have to go for the pat down, and better or worse, I think that's what is going to happen. And you know, and if enough people say we're not going to do it, you got to pat us all down, there's going to be such chaos at airports that I think the TSA is going to have to relent, especially given that the purpose of the scanners and what the scanners are determining is not that helpful compared to what the current system is.
Well, I think there's a group trying to plan an opt-out day for Wednesday, you know, the day before Thanksgiving, one of the big travel days of the year, as far as I can tell, to intentionally cause a little cloggage in the security line just to make their point. Do you know, is there likely, in your opinion, to be enough pressure to bring a good scientific study of what the real risks might be to pilots?
Well, I think what will happen is if the TSA forces this and this is put into place and the pilot unions relent and nothing else, I mean, we can't go any further. What will happen is we will start seeing the cancer show up through the cancer registry. There is a national cancer registry where all cancers are tracked at this point, both the diagnosis and what happens to the patient with treatments. And what we'll start seeing are spikes in those cancer reports, but unfortunately, you won't see that till 3 or 4 or even 5 years down the line from this change in policy, and that's when the proof will show up. Unfortunately, that'll be after the fact for tens of thousands of people.
Is there anything in that registry that tracks occupation?
Well, at least it provides a database. It does not track occupation, but people will go back. Researchers will go back when they see that spike. whether the government will sponsor that study or not, I'm not sure. But usually when they see a spike, the National Institute of Health will go back and interview people to try to see if there is any commonality.
All right. Well, Brent, we appreciate your expertise on this, and I wanted to kind of get away from the Fourth Amendment slash privacy slash security theater argument and get into just the nuts and bolts of the medical part. And I thank you for going there.
My pleasure. Anytime, Paul. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Brent Blue is a senior aviation medical examiner. This issue is a little too new to have its own website, but you can track Brent's activism on the Through the Fence issue at throughthefence.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.